Say good evening to everyone, and glad that we could all be back this evening, and hope that what we have to say tonight will be of benefit to you. I hope that as we look at what we have prepared tonight, that most of all, it'll be a comfort to us. I want to talk about the sovereignty of God. We're all dealing with things in this life. You know, we all have our own set of struggles and challenges, whatever form they take. We have many in this assembly. There are others that I know of, and you probably know of personally. They're dealing with health issues and things like that. And when we look at those things, and we are bound here on this earth, it's a great comfort to know that we have a God that is above all of this. He has power over all of these things that we deal with. I'm going to take our first reading from the Psalms. In the 104th Psalm, we're going to begin in reading in verse 1 here. It says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty, who coverest thyself with light as with a garment, who stretchest out the heavens like a curtain, who layeth the beams of his chambers in the waters, who maketh the clouds his chariot, who walketh upon the wings of the wind, who maketh his angels spirits, his ministers of flaming fire, who laid the foundations of the earth, that it should not be removed forever. Thou coverest it with the deep as with a garment. The waters stood above the mountains. At thy rebuke they fled. At the voice of thy thunder they hasted away. They go up by the mountains, they go down by the valleys, unto the place which thou hast founded for them. Thou hast set a bound that they may not pass over, that they turn not again to cover the earth. He sendeth the springs into the valleys which run among the hills. They give drink to every beast of the field. The wild asses quench their thirst. By them shall the fowls of the heaven have their habitation, which sing among the branches. He watereth the hills from his chambers. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of thy works. He causeth the grass to grow for the cattle, and herb for the service of man, that he may bring forth food out of the earth, and wine that maketh glad the heart of man, and oil to make his face to shine, and bread which strengtheneth man's heart. The trees of the Lord are full of sap, the cedars of Lebanon which he hath planted, where the birds make their nests, as for the stork, the fir trees are her house. The high hills are a refuge for the wild goats, and the rocks for the conies. He appointeth the moon for seasons, the sun knoweth his going down. Thou makest darkness, and it is night, wherein all the beasts of the forest do creep forth. The young lions roar after their prey and seek their meat from God. The sun ariseth, they gather themselves together and lay them down in their dens. Man goeth forth unto his work and his labor until the evening. O Lord, how manifold are thy works! In wisdom hast thou made them all. The earth is full of thy riches. So is this great and wide sea, wherein all are things creeping innumerable, both small and great beasts. There go the ships, there is that Leviathan whom thou hast made to play therein. These wait all upon thee, that thou mayest give them their meat in due season. That thou givest them, they gather. Thou openest thine hand, they are filled with good. Thou hidest thy face, they are troubled. Thou takest away their breath, they die and return to their dust. Thou sendest forth thy spirit, they are created, and thou renewest the face of the earth. The glory of the Lord shall endure forever. The Lord shall rejoice in his works. He looketh upon the earth, and it trembleth. He toucheth the hills, and they smoke. I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. My meditation of him shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord. Let the sinners be consumed out of the earth, and let the wicked be no more. Bless thou the Lord, O my soul. Praise ye the Lord. As I read this chapter, and you know, David was well aware of the sovereignty of God. You can tell, and I wonder many times you hear a lot of the same phrases, a lot of things in this particular psalm that seem to be drawn out of the book of Job. And I wonder if maybe David took inspiration from Job as he was writing this psalm. David understood the sovereignty of God, and he took comfort in it. We serve a sovereign God. The God of heaven, he is sovereign over all. The word itself, sovereignty, does not appear in Scripture, the English word, but the concept is certainly there. And if we break the word down, sov, S-O-V, is a Latin derivative of the word supreme. And of course, reign is to rule. So a sovereign is a supreme ruler. God is supreme. He is the supreme ruler of the universe. And looking at Scripture itself, the entire Bible, really, the entire Word of God, is a lesson in the sovereignty of God. We see it really from beginning to end. It's a very broad subject. It's not anything that we could possibly cover in one sermon up here, but just want to look at some of the highlights of this concept that's found in Scripture. And you look at the opening reading we had here. How many times do we see the word he and his and him capitalized in this passage in reference to God himself? You know, we have leaders and we have rulers over nations and so forth, and they, at least in this country, they put together what they call a cabinet of advisors. And if a ruler is, or a president, or whatever you want to call them, if they have any amount of wisdom, they know that they don't know everything. And so they seek advice from different people, and they put together groups of people to get advice from. And that is a wise thing to do if you're trying to lead a nation. But our God is not like that. God doesn't seek advice. He doesn't need advice from man. He relies on no one to make decisions. He doesn't need anyone or anything that man can offer. God is the very definition of sovereign. Many have taken on this title in the world for time immemorial, but only one being deserves this title and can truly wear this title of sovereign, and that's God. And if you remember and look at this definition, a sovereign has power. A sovereign has power that no legal explanation can be offered for. In other words, there are no laws on the books that give God his power. There are no statutes that we can point to that give God his authority and his power. You know, in man's realm, and especially, you know, if you look at things like medieval Europe and so forth, kings passed down their power. You know, you were either born into royalty or you were not. And that's as, it was as simple as that. With God, there are no laws that give him his power and authority. He was not born into it. He is eternal. Remember what he told Moses at the burning bush, I am that I am. That eternal self-existence that God, that our God is. I am that I am. His kingdom ruleth over all, as David records there in verse 19. And as we've been studying the Psalms, and I've appreciated the studies very much, we can see that David was, he was an earnest and he was a passionate man. We see that through what's recorded of David's life. And as he penned these Psalms that we have recorded for us, you know, they were literally meant to be a psalm, a song. They were meant to be sung. If you look at a song, and we, you know, music can have a great impact on our lives, can it? It can inspire us. It can cause us to be passionate. And what is a song, what is a psalm or a song without passion? It's really just a bunch of words strung together. And you can feel the passion in what David writes here through these inspired writings that we have recorded in the Psalms. You know, I don't guess anyone aside from the Apostle Paul was better than David at describing and conveying the sovereignty of God. Daniel records in chapter 7, verse 27 of Daniel, and the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. Now Daniel, the prophet Daniel, lived some 600 years before Jesus came to this earth in the flesh. And yet he records here of this kingdom that would come and the greatness of it under the whole heaven, and it shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High. Well, that's you and I. We have, as members of the body of Christ and members of the kingdom of God, we have fulfilled that. We are a fulfillment of that prophecy. And is there really anything more comforting than to know and to understand this concept of the sovereignty of God? Daniel, as David did, understood and took comfort in it. Daniel was captive in Babylon when he was writing these things. And yet he knew, and he was given visions, and he was given prophecies about what was to come, and he took comfort in those things, knowing that God is sovereign, and that God can do and make come to pass what he says and what he promises. Matthew 25, chapter 25, verse 34 says, then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. This kingdom prepared before the foundation of the world, designed and prepared for those who would come to Christ. You and I, as those that have accepted the salvation of Christ, we know Christ, we know that God has kept this promise. And it says that God chose us before the foundation of the world, before the world ever began, Think about what an incredible reality that is. How truly and beyond our comprehension, how blessed we really are in that fact right there. Paul writes to the Ephesians here in Ephesians chapter 1. He says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of grace wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together one in all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. You know, the word chose there in verse 4. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. We are not predestinated in the sense that as individuals we were chosen before the foundation of the world, so to speak. God chooses you if you choose him. That's how this works. That's how God intended for this to be. There are those that would teach and have taught that there is just a certain number of people, and they take this passage and they say, well, I'm either in or I'm out. You know, it's been determined before I was even born whether or not I'm going to be saved, so what's the use? That's not the idea that Paul is trying to convey here. There is room enough in heaven for any and all who will come to Christ. We sing songs about that. We understand that. God chooses you if you choose him. You know, we have elders in congregations that lead the flocks of the various congregations. They were chosen to lead congregations. Well, who does the choosing ultimately? God does. Well, how does he do that? Well, they have to meet certain qualifications to be shepherds of a congregation. You know, in my life, there's been a lot of talk about fellowship, and we've discussed it before, but it's really not a difficult concept, this whole idea of fellowship. Who ultimately chooses to whom you extend fellowship? Is it you? Is it me? Who established the criteria for fellowship? Was it you or me? Who died, gave his life to make the bond of fellowship a reality? Was it you or me? we can pretend to do a lot of things, but in the end, a lot of it is empty pretension. The bond of fellowship that we have, that we enjoy, that was meant for us to enjoy, it exists only because of the sovereignty of Almighty God. If God was not sovereign, fellowship would not be possible. As the Apostle John explains it, I have fellowship with God, you have fellowship with God, therefore we have fellowship. It's through the sovereignty of God that we have fellowship, that fellowship is made possible. God pays no attention to man's criteria, really, for anything. Why should he? We have no power for him to recognize. First Chronicles chapter 29, verse 10. It says, wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation, and David said, blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatest, and the power, and the glory, and the victory, and the majesty for all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all, and in thy hand is power and might, and in thy hand is to make great and to give strength unto all. So David again describes God's sovereignty, God's supreme power. This is why we're instructed to pray for those that have the rule over us, because all power in heaven and earth is in the hand of the Almighty Sovereign God that we serve. He gives it and he takes it away. He sets up rulers and he takes them down. Whatever power they have is only because God granted it to them. As Jesus himself explained to Pilate during his trial, you would have no power over me were it not given to you by God. He gives it and he can take it away. Revelation 19 and 6, and I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude and as the voice of many waters and as the voice of a mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. And he hath on his vesture on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The Lord omnipotent reigneth. What is a potentate? It's a ruler, someone of great authority. So if you're omnipotent, then you have all authority. Universal authority. That's the God that we serve. Once we fully understand this, and I don't know that I do, I'm not standing before you to say that I do. Once we can come at least to a better and more complete understanding of these concepts of the power that our God has, that he's sovereign over everything, that by him all things consist, as Paul wrote to the church at Philippi, we can have peace. We can have that peace that passes understanding. We can, though, you know, we still will have trials, we'll have tribulation, we'll have problems with this body, we'll have family problems, we'll have everything that comes along with going through this life. We can deal with them. And I try to think about, I have great pity for those in the world that don't have this concept, don't understand it, are not members of the kingdom of God, and don't have the benefit of knowing the sovereignty of God. Would be a very depressing outlook, would it not? Just try to put yourself in their place, in the place of those that don't have that, that can't know that peace. You know, as we said before, there are many that have taken on the title of king, and they'll claim to have total control and total authority and total rule over a people. And we've seen many from the beginning of time that have used their power and authority to oppress and to torture and to do many cruel and inhumane things to those that they rule over. Is there a man alive today, or who has ever lived, who can truly be described as omnipotent? No. Many men have taken the title of king, as we said. They've attempted to have this total authority over other men, and yet they die, and another takes their place. And yet none of them are truly entitled to wear the title king. And this is why earthly dictatorships and kingdoms fall and come to an end. No man deserves this title. The Lord Jesus Christ is the only who ever lived who qualifies to wear the title king. And that's why we're told that he is King of kings and Lord of lords. Paul writes to Timothy here in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 15. He says, which in his times he shall show, who is the blessed and only potentate, King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man has seen, nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. I want to, and I came up here without. Just kind of came to me before we close. I want to read. I don't have it on the presentation, but if you want to turn to Job, the 38th chapter. It's hard to, it's hard to present anything on the sovereignty of God without talking about Job. And we know the story of Job and how he lost everything. And the majority of this book is him explaining his situation, opening his heart, pouring his heart out to God about how he feels about his predicament. And then his friends come in and they attempt to speak for God. And finally, in chapter 38, God speaks. God answers what's been said and makes it clear that he doesn't need anyone to speak for him. In Job chapter 38, verse 1, it says, then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee, and answer thou me. Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare it if thou hast understanding. Who hath laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest, or who hath stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened, or who hath laid the cornerstone thereof? When the morning stars sang together, and the sons of God shouted for joy, or who shut up the sea with doors, when it break forth, as if it had issued out of the womb. When I made the cloud the garment thereof, and thick darkness a swaddling band for it, and break up for my decreed place, and set bars and doors, and said, hitherto shalt thou come, but no further, and here shall thy proud waves be stayed. Hast thou commanded the morning since thy days, and cursed the dayspring to know his place, that it might take hold of the ends of the earth, that the wicked might be shaken out of it? It is turned as clay to the seal, and they stand as a garment. And from the wicked their light is withholden, and the high arm shall be broken. Hast thou entered into the springs of the sea, or hast thou walked in search of the depth? Have the gates of death been opened unto thee, or hast thou seen the doors of the shadow of death? Hast thou perceived the breadth of the earth? Declare it if thou know it all. Where is the way where the light dwelleth? And as for darkness, where is the place thereof? That thou shouldest take it to the bound thereof, and that thou shouldest know the paths to the house thereof. Knowest thou it because thou wast then born, or because the number of thy days is great? Hast thou entered into the treasures of the snow, or hast thou seen the treasures of the hail, which I have reserved against the time of trouble, against the day of battle and war? By that way is the light departed, which scattereth the east wind upon the earth. Who hath divided a watercourse for the overflowing of waters, or a way for the lightning of thunder, to cause it to rain on the earth where no man is, on the wilderness wherein there is no man, to satisfy the desolate and waste ground, and to cause the bud of the tender herb to spring forth? Hath the rain a father, or who hath begotten the drops of dew? Out of whose womb came the ice and the hoary frost of heaven? Who hath gendered it? The waters are hid as with a stone, and the face of the deep is frozen. Canst thou bind the sweet influence of Pleiades, or loose the bands of Orion? Canst thou bring forth Maseroth in his season, or canst thou guide Arcturus with his sons? Knowest thou the ordinance of heaven? Canst thou set the dominion thereof in the earth? Canst thou lift up the voice of the clouds, that abundance of waters may cover thee? Canst thou send lightnings, that they may go and say unto thee, here we are? Who hath put wisdom in the inward parts, or who hath given understanding to the heart? Who can number the clouds in wisdom, or who can stay the bottles of heaven? When the dust groweth into hardness, and the clods cleave fast together, wilt thou hunt the prey for the lion, or fill the appetite of the young lions? When they couch in their dens and abide in the covert to lie in wait, who provideth for the raven his food? When his young ones cry unto God, they wonder for lack of meat. And it goes on, and I would urge you, I know you probably have, go back and read the rest of this book. And you know, it's hard to read Job and not understand and not see the sovereignty and the power of God. And he simply asked Job, where were you? Where were you when I laid the foundations of this planet that you're walking on? Can you stretch a line on it and tell me the dimensions of it? You know, we're pretty small in when we start thinking about creation in those terms. And it's easy to feel like we don't matter, that God maybe at times has forgotten us, but he hasn't. And he made that clear to Job. Job was a man just like you and I. And he had a lot of grief and turmoil in his life that was brought on him all at one time. And yet in the end, he took comfort in the sovereignty of God as we can. I hope we've said something tonight that's been of some benefit to you. And I know it was to me in studying it, and it's comforting. It's comforting to know that we serve a God with such great power who can do anything. You put us here. We wouldn't be walking this earth were it not for him. If there's anybody here that has anything to bring before this congregation, if you want to start your walk with Christ and become a member of his family, his kingdom, we encourage you to do that. There's no time like the present. And if you're here and have maybe need the prayers of this congregation, we'd be happy to take care of that as well as we stand and sing.